Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The value of one moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Purport. When there is some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apuna bhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures attainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria, and because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in the transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As the government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home, or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do anything material. So he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can be derived from the material benedictions like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly at the end, with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of the pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Sutta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis of Narasharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called a sat yogi sanghi, or one who is such attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it derives the benedictions of life and prosperity. Just the opposite is Bhagavat Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy. And one may accept it as the highest goal of life. I was born in the dark, having my spiritual master, the transcendental knowledge. So, this purport is comparing the association of materialistic people or materialistic conditioned souls to the association of the pure devotee. And as it says in the purport, there's nothing, one cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Because the pure devotee is a very rare personality. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7:19 purports, and in the Bhagavad Gita, 7:19 and 7:3 confirm this, that the pure devotee is a very rare personality. And the So, the association of the pure devotee, as I said, cannot be compared, because the pure devotee of the Lord, he is not in this material world, but also he is in this material world. At the same time, externally, the pure devotee has descended from the spiritual world. And externally, he has a so-called material body. But internally, he is always engaged in the service of the Lord. And this is describing the Mahabhagavat devotee or pure devotee, Uttam devotee. So by association of the pure devotee or Uttam devotee, we can make rapid advancement. So, in the Shastra, there are symptoms of a Mahabhagavat devotee. In the Adi Lila 14, chapter 14, verse 15, it says, pancha digraha pancha sukmaha sapta praktiti sad utataha trasave tri hushava prita gambero trasava lakshana mahanachanam. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality. Five of his bodily parts are large. Five are fine, seven are reddish, six are raised, three are small, three are broad, and three are grave. So, if you want to see what they are, one should read that purport, because it's quite a long purport. And then it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:245. It's it also describes the symptom of a Bhagavata devotee or pure devotee. Sri Haver said, the most advanced devotee or monk of a Mahabhagavata devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Person of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So, as it says in that last from the Bhagavatam, from the 11th canto, the Mahabhagavata devotee or pure devotee sees with himself the soul of all souls. And it's also described that he does not just see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees Krishna appearing in Vrindavan or in Vrindavan to reciprocate with every individual resident of Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. He does not see Krishna. He understands Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. But he sees beyond that. He sees that Krishna is a cowherd boy performing pastimes with his beloved devotees in Vrindavan. And so therefore, that association. So therefore, he's also, when he understands this, or the pure devotee understands this, that he's also engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As it's said, he is exclusively engaged. He has nothing to do with anything material. So he's exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material. So this is the pure devotee. And the pure devotee is such a very rare personality. So when the pure devotee comes, we have to take advantage of his association. It is said, just one moment of association with a pure devotee, one can make advancement very quickly. So how do we recognize the pure devotee? Well, I have just read the 32 external symptoms. But also, the pure devotee is completely surrendered to Krishna. I think it's in the purport to 1719 that the pure devotee, he is totally dependent on the will of Krishna. And therefore, the pure devotee comes down from the spiritual world to give us the chance for the conditioned souls to get out of this material cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. He brings down, he comes to this material world, he brings down some rope which is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. And that rope is lowered down into the well the dry well of material existence. And that pure devotee just asks one thing, just hold on to that rope I am lowering down from the spiritual world. And just hold on to it, and I will bring you out of this material well of it, of the material existence, well of material existence. So it says also in the purport that also it was Taruna Prabhu yesterday made a very nice point that a devotee cannot balance material life and spiritual life, cannot. Because it's like walking on a razor's edge, or walking on a fence, or sitting on a fence. For the devotee, we'll see everything as Krishna, as Taruna Prabhu said yesterday. So we know there in the, also he was talking, stressing the point on sadhana. So for us who are living in the temple, we've got our own morning program organized by Srila Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So many devotees are living outside. So how can they see everything spiritual? Our acharya, one of our acharyas, Bhagavan Thakur. An acharya means one who shows by example. He had his own sadhana. He, as we all know, he was a magistrate in different districts in India. And I forget the timings of his own sadhana. But he would finish his rounds before he would get on the train from the outside his house to go to Krishnanagar, finish his regulative rounds, and then do his duty as a magistrate, and then rest of the time he would regulate reading Bhagavatam, so on, and this, and seeing guests, taking prasadam. He would regulate himself. And it was, I did read it one time, and it's very, very austere. And so I'm not saying that we should imitate Bhagavanoda. For those who are living outside, should not imitate Bhagavanoda Thakur, because that's impossible to imitate a great personality like Bhagavanoda Thakur. But they can arrange their life in such a way that they can see Krishna, that they will be spirit, that they will see their job, they will see everything they so-called materially have is actually spiritual. They will see their home, their house is not their house. Krishna provided that house. Their wife, their children, their car, their bank balance, everything is come from Krishna. If we think in that way, then we will understand that everything is spiritual. Because we cannot balance material life with spiritual life. You cannot. Otherwise, eventually one will fall off the fence. Fall into the material life or fall into the spiritual life. So then the pure devotee, he comes and we take association of that pure devotee. So when the pure devotee comes, he gives us Krishna. He gives us sweet talks about Krishna. And then also sometimes he may say some words, some unpalatable words. But this, the unpalatable words are not meant to cause any harm. They are meant to purify, to purify the conditioned souls from the material attachment. And it says in the purport, excuse me, ladies, women and other paraphernalia. So how do we see in the Vedas, in how do we see women in the very the Vaishnavis, the ladies? And so I was hearing a class the other day from Teichandra Chandrababu, and he was describing how we respect the ladies. And he was describing these three ways how to respect them. First of all, the ones that are older than your bodily age, you see as Mataji, mother. And the ones, the ladies, that who are younger than you, slightly younger than you, or younger than you, you see them as your sister. You know, like I've got a younger sister. And the ones that are younger than you, a lot younger bodily wise, you see them as your daughter. So this is how we should, according to the Shastra, the Vedas, respect the ladies properly. And so therefore, and other paraphernalia that goes with that. So the pure devotee comes to give us Krishna, and we just have to associate with Krishna, with him. And so the question may be there. So how do we associate with the pure devotee? First of all, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj, he writes, Taitanyara Bhakta Ganaya Nityakara Sangha Tabeta Jambadita Sadanta Sabrata Taranga. Associate regularly with the devotees of Sri Taitanya Mahaprabhu. For then only one will understand the waves of the ocean of devotional service. So we have to associate with the devotees of Lord Taitanya. And we worship. And by the association of the associates of Lord Taitanya. Because we can only approach Krishna through Lord Taitanya. So then, that by that regular association, we will get Krishna. Yeah. So how do we get? So we may be thinking, there are no pure devotees around us, but due to our conditioned nature, we may be surrounded by pure devotees, completely surrounded, but due to our bodily concept of life, due to our ignorance, we don't recognize them. So therefore the desire may come to have that association of that pure devotee. So how do we get that? So then we have to do one thing. It says in the Adi Purana, Gayanti mama nami mama sabam vedo tisham maham prakrita nanya krita janadan. Those who sing my names and cry in front of me, I am purchased by them. For Janadan is not purchased by anything else. So the Adi Purana, this verse, Adi the Purana, is talking about crying in front of Radha Gokulgrunda, Sitaram Lakshanuman, or any installed deity that's installed by the pure devotee. We have to cry. And it's interesting. They use the word Janardhan in this verse. Janardhan is the name of Lord Caitanya by himself. Janardhan, when we see Lord Caitanya without Lord Nityananda, his name is Janardhan. Because for those who have been to Mayapur, you see on the altar the Radha Madhava, the Astasakis, Chotarada Krishna, but you don't see Gornitai. You see Lord Caitanya by himself, next to Chotarada Krishna. So that is Janardhan. So we have to cry in front of Janardhan. We have to cry to Lord Caitanya. And if we cry to Lord Caitanya, and he knows what's in our heart, he knows our desires. So if we cry to Lord Caitanya, please give me the association of a pure devotee. Please open my eyes from the bodily concept of life. This means also the pure devotee is not just in a male body. The pure devotee can be in a female body as well. Of course, for the first example I can immediately think of is Mother Kalangana. She was You cannot say she was not a pure devotee. She was a pure devotee. And as we know, when she was leaving her body and she was asked to chant the name of Krishna, Krishna says no. Caitanya, Caitanya, Gora, Gora. So Mother Kalangana is one of the embodiments of the pure devotee. So the pure devotee is not just a male body, it's also a female body. And we have to come off that bodily concept of life. When we come off that bodily concept of life, whoever body is giving class, male or female, if they're speaking the absolute truth, we will not identify with that body. We will identify that they are speaking about Lord Caitanya, speaking about Krishna, giving us a chance to get out of this material world. By the association of the pure devotee, it says at the end here, such association is always desirable and is worshipable and is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life. So, of course, the highest association is the association of Radha and Krishna and Gaunitai, and according to one's adhikar, one's devata. For us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship Gaunitai and Radha Krishna. And also we do respect Sitaram, Lakshmanan, and so on. But we cannot get that association unless we get this association of the pure devotee, who is a confidential servitor of the Lord. And that, through that association of the confidential servitor of the Lord, then one may, and can get the highest goal of life, to worship Radha and Krishna, Gaunitai, in the spiritual world. So in other words, if one associates with a pure devotee, one can attain the highest goal of life, and that is to go back to the spiritual world at the end of this life. And if we follow their instructions, their example, because the pure devotee, when I first joined, there was a saying, you know, the pure devotee, he walks the talk. There are devotees who talks, just talk, but no walk. First you have to talk and then walk. But the pure devotee, he will walk the talk. So therefore, we have to listen, follow his instructions, and then serve that pure devotee, because that pure devotee, because he has seen Krishna, he will actually reveal the truth to us. Tadviti parapratena, so on like that. Because he is Tattva-darshani, because he has seen the truth, he will impart the truth to us. And if we listen and follow that instruction, we can attain, at the end of this life, the highest goal of life, to go back to the spiritual world. So I'll finish there. Any questions, or I will try to answer.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you. Very nice class. I just have one question. When you mentioned that we should cry and sing in front of the deities, how do we ensure that we're crying and singing, but it's genuine and from the heart, not just imitating?
First of all, Krishna knows that, first of all, the deities are non-different from Krishna. Externally, we may see them made out of marble, more brass, or some other wood, so on like this. So Krishna, he knows if it's genuine or not. He knows. And he knows if it's genuine because he will give you, if your crying is genuine, Krishna will fulfill that. If it's artificial, if it's just showing, just like these. We see sometimes people, sahajyas, crying, and they, like one time I was in Mayapur, and it was Ekadashi. So there was kirtan in the temple there. And so one devotee there, he was leading nice kirtan, and he started crying. And you could see he was crying. Then I thought, all right, very nice. He's crying, nice kirtan. Then when he went outside, and then he asked, where is, he asked somebody, where is Sanso Das, I forget his name now. He said, where is Sanso Das? He said, he's not here. He said, see, he missed my kirtan. And he started criticizing him. So it was artificial. He started criticizing him. So since that day, I've personally, if I see devotees crying, I don't say anything to them because they could be real. It could be real, it could be not real. So we have to know what is real or not real. Krishna, he knows in the heart what is real, crying. Krishna will fulfill that desire. That's all I can say on that. You want to give it a different?
I just wondered, so we're speaking of this point about crying for Krishna. I guess it kind of starts when we internally start crying for Krishna.
Yeah, internally, yeah.
So how do we build this mood of crying for Krishna internally?
We have to feel the separation from Krishna. Just like Lord Caitanya was always crying. Lord Caitanya was always crying because he's in the mood of Srimati Radha Radharani. And Srimati Radharani was always feeling separation from Krishna. So we have to develop this mood of separation.
And how do we build the mood of separation?
We chant Hare Krishna intensely. We just in the beginning, if we sincere, in the beginning we chant Hare Krishna. In the beginning, if we're sincere, then that separation. If we're serious, if we're really really serious, then that separation will come.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the talk. Just a follow-up question from that. Like the examples we gave of personalities who feel this separation are in communion with Krishna, and then when Krishna leaves, they get that separation. So should our meditation be feel that separation when we still haven't gotten Krishna yet, or to just work on getting Krishna? Then if that separation...
We have to remember there's four types of separation. I forget the Sanskrit name for them. But the first one is that we should feel separation even when Krishna's not there. We should feel separation when even though Krishna is not there. That's the first one. I forget the Sanskrit name for it now. But there's four types of separation. It's very complicated. And of course the highest was manifested by Lord Caitanya in Jagannath Puri at the end of his Leela there. But Lord Caitanya was always feeling separation. So the first one means that even though Krishna is not physically present, we should develop that separation somehow or other by one's desire. One should pray, please let me feel the separation from Krishna. And I know one devotee who prayed like that. And he prayed like that in front of Gaunitai. And then some reason, he understood later it was Lord Caitanya's mercy. Somehow, he was struggling in one sense to chant his rounds. Struggling. But he persevered and persevered and persevered. And because Lord Caitanya made the struggle chanting his 16 rounds, he developed. But at the same time, he still had that internal desire. So you can see where I'm going to, can't you? So because even though he was struggling to chant his rounds, but he still had that internal desire, he was feeling separation. He was starting to develop that separation.
Thank you.
Yes, Proja.
It's interesting when we say cry for Krishna or crying in front of the deities. It's just something to be aware of. Some people, they cry in front of the deities because of problems they have in life. And they're not crying for the deities. They're crying because they're in trouble. That's considered an offense. Because they're not seeking Krishna. They're not looking for Krishna. And so in the Nectar of Devotion, it speaks in this way about this crying in front of the deities. The crying is, and Guru Govinda Swami said, actually, the crying is in the heart. It's not exhibited usually. It's an internal thing, and so it's something to be aware of, that one's a material concept. You know, they're having trouble, we can always go to Krishna for trouble. That's for certain, but it's not a spiritual separation. It's just because we're suffering in the material world, and it's due to family problems. So that's the other one you to be careful of. But also, the separation is that actually what Mahaprabhu, he says, he felt he was an offender. If I wanted Krishna, how can I still be alive? And that is like a general feeling, because it says we should feel we're lower than the straw in the street. In Trinadapi Suni Channa, actually, Prabhupada said, a devotee, somebody asked Prabhupada, I'm so hopeless, I'm making so many mistakes, I just don't know what to do. No matter how hard I try, and, I feel hopeless to attain Krishna. And he said, yes, this is how we should all feel. This is the real crying in the heart. We should feel this way, that we are hopeless, actually. And this is lower than the straw in the street. And so, Prabhupada, he said, this is the mood, that not that we're great in any way at all. I've got a good voice, I've got I speak well in class, all that stuff. It's nothing to do with that, because directly you start to feel that, you're separate from Krishna. You're only with yourself. And it's unfortunate if we're going for fame and attention. So it's always the feeling of hopelessness is in Lord Chaitanya. This is what he's trying to show us, that actually, and he felt that. He felt he was the worst.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying. Also, I may add one thing. There are four types of people who come to Krishna. The ones who need help. So there's no harm in crying in front of the deities if you have problems. No problem. Because there are four types of people who come to Krishna, and that's one of them. And if that person is sincerely seeking a solution for that problem, they will become Krishna conscious.
Just an adjustment there. The thing is, if they're not actually crying to Krishna, but they're just crying because of their family problems, they're not actually coming to Krishna. They're not approaching him internally. That they just come in and they're just, it's a different.
I can't understand what you're saying. I'll give you I'll give you a personal example. So many years ago, I was in the temple room, and there was one lady expecting a baby, and she was crying because she had just come from the hospital. The doctors gave her some bad news. She started crying in front of Radha Gokulananda. She said, my baby may be stillbirth. And she started crying. And I saw her outside and she told me. And then later, some years later, I was sitting outside, out there, on one Sunday afternoon, and one lady, this lady, I didn't recognize her. She said, "Do you remember me?" He said, "No." I was crying in front of Radha Gokulananda because of my baby, my stillbirth. "Now look," he said, "and you told me if you cry in front of Krishna, everything will be all right." And she was holding a two-year-old baby. So there's nothing wrong with crying. Nothing wrong. And later, now that Lamataji is initiated devotee.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. So when we're in the association of pure devotees, we can subconsciously compare ourselves to them, and because they're on such a high level, we become demotivated because we're so far behind.
Become elevated, yeah.
How do we avoid that?
Avoid
getting demotivated because we're in the association of such pure devotees.
As it says here in the purport, by avoiding materialistic people. Now this is, sometimes we can, I'm talking to myself, about myself here, that sometimes we can be devotees, but sometimes the materialistic side comes out of us, manifests. So if we avoid talking about materialistic topics, sometimes we have to, you know, but they should be minimized. You know, like you're doing uni on the, so you have to do it, you have to do that. But if you avoid materialistic topics, materialistic devotees who you can see are motivated by materialistic, who are devoted by materialistic materialistic desires. And then we just, like one time, I was in, this is many years ago, I was in the Bishadam room, and there was a group of devotees, householders, devotees, and all they were talking about was how difficult it is to maintain. They were all talking about how to make money, how to get a bigger house, this, this, and this, and this. This is the association we should avoid.
Thank you for your class. So I saw a little contradiction when you spoke that pure devotees, and I wanted to clear that out.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your words.
Yeah, no problem.
You said both that pure devotees are very rare.
Yeah.
But at the same time, later on, you said pure devotees might be all around us.
They may be.
And we don't see it.
But we don't see them.
Then also you describe how we need to see all material energy, because we cannot see, even if they are around us, we cannot see. And you're speaking it in our life, and you're giving the example more for the people outside. But it also applies to us while living in the temple. How can we see the material aspects of our existence as a servant of God, as a service of Krishna? How can we understand
you? We have to remember the material energy is a servant of Krishna. It's part of the material energy, external energy, is part of Krishna. So it's not separate from Krishna.
How can we see that yoga maya?
we have to understand that the external energy keeps us from Krishna, and the material spiritual energy brings us to Krishna. So the pure devotee will not see anything material. He won't able to see everything spiritual, even though it seems externally it seems it is material. So Srila Prabhupada gives a very good example here. He said, you put an iron rod in fire. An iron rod, you heat it up, put it in fire for some time. And then I ask you, you know, if I have an iron rod, I put it in fire for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and then I ask you to touch it. Is it a metal rod? No, it's fire. So the pure devotee will see like that. He will engage the material energy in Krishna's service. This is the difference. The pure devotee will engage the material energy in Krishna's service. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, he engaged a motor car to go to Radhakund. No, to show the Babaji's, you know, the true renunciation, using everything in Krishna's service.
We also want to, Prabhupada requested us to become pure devotees.
Yes.
So my question is, how can we develop that relationship with the spiritual material energy of the Lord?
Through the spiritual master, the only way. The only way is through the spiritual master. Anything else? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your class, and thank you for giving this example of the lady crying and that it was okay. So, but I wonder, in what circumstances would it be offensive to cry in front of the deities?
Sorry, the example of...
So you gave the example of the lady who was,
yeah.
And you said it was okay, it was not offense, because...
Because she was in...
She was in anxiety.
Suffering, yeah.
So in what circumstances is it offense to cry in front of the deities?
It's offensive that if it's, as I said, that devotee who is leading the kirtan, then criticizing afterwards. That's where it's offensive.
So if it's not sincere?
Yeah, if it's not sincere, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peru. I have one more question, if that's okay. I know
yes.
It's getting a bit late. Okay. So if the Uttam Madhukari devotee sees Krishna in everyone,
yeah.
Then why does he feel separation from Krishna?
That's a good question. Lord Caitanya, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the mood of Shri Radharani, was also feeling separation from Krishna in Jagannath Puri. When he appeared in Navadvip town, Navadvip Dham. And then we know he took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. So Lord Caitanya is showing us that Lord Caitanya, of course, he's non-different from Krishna. He is God, Supreme Person of the Godhead. But he was showing us, even though if he can feel separation, why can't the Uttam devotee? He's feeling separation from, because externally he's looking like an ordinary human being, like this. But internally he's always not feeling separation. He's not feeling separation internally. He's always with Krishna internally, always. Externally, he may look like they have to go to the bathroom, they have to take prasadam, they have to shower, all the external things. But internally, he's always with Krishna. He's not feeling separation. He's always engaged. As it says in this purport, he's always engaged internally. Always. Always engaged in serving Radha and Krishna in Goloka and Vrindavan. Always.
Thank you.
Krishna. Nothing else? Okay. Kantarajan Bhagavatam Ki Jai.